In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It can seem strange to talk about Christmas in the middle of Lent, but it's a good reminder for us that just as the cross is part of Christmas, so Christmas is part of the cross. In other words, God took on human flesh so that he might die. How fitting that even the youngest of us knows this angel's name. All the angels have names, but God chose Gabriel to announce his incarnation. The angels are not jealous of man, but they love what God loves, and so they delight to carry out his will. Filled with joy, Gabriel hastened to the young virgin, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Chosen by grace, and by grace alone, she would be the mother of God. God always works through his word. When Gabriel speaks, the Holy Spirit implants the Son of God in Mary's womb, a tiny one-cell embryo quickly multiplying, growing, developing fingers and a beating heart, kicking and tumbling. Small and helpless, he enters the world in the same way we do. The Spirit takes Jesus' flesh from Mary's and unites it to the Son's eternal divine nature. After this Annunciation, you cannot separate the person of Jesus. Where his human nature is, there is his divine. Mary is pregnant with God. It is just as Gabriel said, "The Lord is with you, for God's grace and favor are found in God's body." He becomes physical, so physical bodies might be saved. Take away the body of God, and we are left with a consuming fire. For now he hides in the womb of his mother for 9 months, yet still sustains the heavens and the earth. "So do not be afraid, Mary," the angel tells her. "God is gracious. The time has fully come. You will be his mother. Call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins and reign over the house of Jacob forever." The promise is more than God becoming man. It's the promise to take away all our sins. It's the promise to bind our ancient enemy, the devil. It's the promise to shut death's gaping mouth and to open heaven's pearly gates. The eternal King has come to take back what is rightfully his. He comes wielding a double-edged sword. He comes to fight and to win. To establish an eternal kingdom that no devil, no disease, no suffering, not even death can destroy, and he will do it all through his body. Who then does not rejoice that the Virgin has conceived? Who is not happy that our sister carried in her womb our Lord, the eternal King? She will give birth to the man who is the image and likeness of God. The throne is his, but he also must go out and earn it. The devil robbed God of his people, so the Son comes to take them back. Conception allows his flesh to be pierced and his blood to flow. He wins the throne by his death. He conquers by a cross and so fulfills the will of the Father. Do not be afraid. The Lord is with you. The King of heaven and earth is with you. You too are highly favored, for God is conceived for you. The King is born so you may have fullness of joy and glory. Mary is an image of the church. As God sent his messenger to her, so he sends his messengers to you. When they speak, the Holy Spirit implants God in you. You have found favor with God. As he chose Mary by grace, so he has chosen you by grace. She did not deserve to be his mother, and you do not deserve to be his precious saint. Yet the Spirit carries him to you whenever the word is opened. You have the blessings of his victory, forgiveness, life, salvation, peace with God, freedom from death, yet he gives you more. He gives you himself. He is with you. He is inside your body. This is not a spiritual presence any more than Mary was spiritually pregnant. It's a real presence, a bodily presence, though indiscernible to us. He has come to be your guest and to unite himself to you. He cannot leave you any more than he could leave Mary's womb. So his throne is not some golden throne in heaven, but his throne is your heart. He makes your fallen body his holy temple and rules all things for your good. Your brother has all power and authority in heaven and on earth, for he has faced every temptation. He has lived in a fallen world. He has suffered death and has overcome it all. Certainly he can help you. He doesn't give you all the details of your life, but he has told you the ending. Whatever you face, then, you face with him. Where you go, he goes. Mary did not look like the Mother of God, and we do not look like holy saints of God. We see cuts and sores, torn garments and weakness. We get diseases just as easily as others, St. Paul says. We fill up in our flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. Though we are now more isolated than before, we're not alone. And it's not up to us to overcome. Christ is within us. When we suffer, Christ suffers. He does not leave us, but he strengthens us through it all. When we hurt, he hurts. When we cry, he cries. He yearns with us and lives with us and dies with us to overcome all these trials in us and through us. We are more than conquerors, for the conqueror lives in this body. Heaven and earth still bow at his command. He spins the galaxies and sustains the deep, and he lives in you. He chose you by grace. Where his human nature is, there is his divine. And where his divine nature is, there is his human. Since the Son of God dwells in you, then also the body of God dwells in you. How blessed are you, even as Mary was. The Lord is with you, not as a growing child, but as the risen Savior, the slayer of death, the destroyer of devils, the conqueror of all evils. The King reigns from within you, because his messenger has spoken his word to you. What do you have to fear? His kingdom will never end, so you will have no end. But he will put an end to all disease, adversity, pain, and trouble. He will end all suffering and death. But you? Well, you he will purify with his blood. May it be to us as he has said. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.